much about.
This is a test transmission. You have successfully retuned your radio. Full service output will commence during March.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?
I need you to make me a sign."
I won't make a sign with the words. Or please print legibly.
Wait a minute. What if my name was?
Is your name?
For the sake of this argument, yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I'll make whatever sign you like, Mr.
Oh, please call me.
And now.
Well, a very, very heavy, heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go hit Terrace Chase and those for the bit, the head of the pit.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, that's much worse than I remember.
Man.
Oh. Did you know, do you know Serene Branson, Ellie?
I never met her, but I have, we have mutual friends. Lovely girl, by all accounts.
She's very nice. And does a great job on the news, too.
Yeah.
That's worse than I remember, though.
I agree.
That was a severe burtation, is what that was.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 2nd of March. Bean, I know you always start with a story, but can I ask a question first?
Of course, yes.
What are your plans for today when you can buy stock in Snapchat? Are you going all? Are you just throwing everything you have in it?
Look, I have been getting that question
for
many listeners.
Are you tied up with Twitter?
People are wondering. They're looking, you know, because, look, people look to me on how to spend money in the stock market. So they're looking for me to tip my hand. And I just don't know that I'm willing to share my strategy with just everybody.
You're going to play it close to the vest.
I think I am, yeah. What's it opening at? Is it just $17, right?
Yes. What did you pay for Twitter?
Wasn't it around 40, I think I paid?
I mean, we don't know. You're the one that paid it.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple of years now. I think it was around 40. I bought it the day that Twitter went public. And by the way, I loved Twitter and still do and believed in Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And
how high is that now? $40 a share. Okay.
Yeah, it was 40 bucks when I bought it.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I checked, it was around 14 now.
All right.
Which
is that what you want?
I don't think that's the direction I was hoping for.
Oh.
Now, what do you guys think? This is the thing about the stock market, because, look, it's speculation. Twitter's up to 15.79, you guys.
Wow.
Sell.
I mean, no.
You've lost just slightly less money.
Right. I've only lost 25 of my $40 per share. But I only bought thousands of dollars of it, by the way. So it's not like it was like I bought one share. But here's the thing, and this is why the stock market is speculative. And by the way, President Donald Trump, very pro-business, very against regulations, is very good for the stock market. The stock market has gone up 15% since he was elected. It's over 21,000 now.
Right.
So it's kind of a good time to be in the stock market right now.
Right.
I'd wait and see if one of his friends buys Snapchat. Then you know it's good.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Mm.
That's a good, yeah, I do.
A little insider deal.
But do you guys, here's
picking
the thing.
Picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Twitter as a company and as a business still loses money.
Right.
But so does Snapchat.
Right.
Sure.
Snapchat is not a profitable company.
Right.
We may love it. We may use it. But it is not profitable because there's not a lot of ads on it. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of ways for them to make money on it. I mean, I guess they have sponsored things like all the social media does. But what do you think the long-term probability is that Snapchat is going to be a company that makes money?
I mean, again, we're just guessing, but
everybody's guessing.
But I feel like Instagram is doing a lot of stuff that takes away the uniqueness of Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're making a couple of moves where you go, okay, well, now it's Snapchat is not quite as unique anymore.
Not as essential, right.
And Instagram is a monster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would guess think it won't go well for Snapchat.
I mean,
I don't know.
But what about the dog and the licking and the pictures and your tongue comes out? No, I have flower crown.
Yeah, that is the only place you can get that. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's easy in retrospect to know what you should have done.
Right.
Obviously, I wish I would have put all that money into Facebook. But there were probably people who – I don't know if Periscope was a thing you could invest in. But, I mean, there are a lot of things that come and go like Periscope or like Vine. And, you know, they don't amount to anything. But then every once in a while, one of them hits and it just becomes essential in the fabric of the world and you can't live without it.
It's weird to me that something can take over the world like Vine or something like that, where they have millions of users. Yes. I was going to say losers. And then it just goes away.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, you would think there'd be a way to monetize that. If you have a product that is popular, you think there's got to be a way to make money off of it. But I guess
well, I say, here's what I say. I say sell Twitter now and then put all that into Snapchat. That's my advice.
You think Twitter – I mean, the thing about Twitter is you can't
– use your words.
This doesn't have – I don't understand how Twitter isn't doing what Instagram is doing, which is just put some commercials in there. Just put them in your feed. A commercial every
– There are sponsored posts, but not anything that you'd really even notice so much. You just scroll right past.
But, I mean, on Instagram, there's straight ads.
Yeah.
And you just go right past it and you move on and it's not that annoying.
Except that purse where you can put your computer right in one of the side slips. I look every time.
Okay.
Every time I click on that ad.
That's not my point.
I need that
Okay.
I mean, I think Twitter has fewer users than some of the other social media. It's no, obviously, it's no Facebook, it's no Instagram. But the people who use it love it. And I think you're right, Kevin, that they would continue to use it. It wouldn't drive people away just because there were a few ads here.
Long as it's not too annoying.
As long as it's not too annoying.
But there's none. So that makes no sense. It seems like that would be the first thing they would do is just
give
sell
it away.
Some ads, put it in people's feed. Start with one. No one will notice. Everything will be fine.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm very much going to keep my eyes peeled on the Snapchat. I don't want to tip my hand, but
sure.
But thanks for asking, and I appreciate that you guys are looking for some advice. You're coming to the right place.
Right. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
We're going to talk to Dr. Drew. I believe the topic is people who buy stocks that don't know what they're doing.
Oh, timely.
I think that's what we're going to talk to him about. We have Jim Rome on the show like we do on Thursdays.
Sure.
Talking football. We have, I'm being told, phones. So that means we have some Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets to give away. I'm being told that we have phones.
I feel good about it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Somebody would call right now, maybe it would make us feel a bit better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
1-800-520-1067, just to check the process because...
I mean, I see we at least have lights on the phone, which we have not had the last 2 days, so that does...
That's a start.
Indicate to me that maybe they're working.
But lights don't necessarily help us give away tickets.
Right. Understood.
Unless we could actually get a phone, so...
Right.
And also today we have Dream Car in studio.
How good is their new song, you guys?
Their new song is awesome.
We're going to debut that today?
It's called Kill for Candy. Three guys from No Doubt and Davey Havoc from AFI. And they're all going to be in the studio today. And we're going to world premiere their song.
It gives me 80s happies.
It does. Yeah. Very excited.
So.
All right.
Let's just go to our first caller through and make sure this is working.
Hey, I heard him. Hey, who's this?
Anthony.
Yes.
Anthony. Are you a live person?
Yes, I am.
That's a great question.
Yeah, he could have been a robot. Could have been an AT&T robot faking us out.
What are you doing at 5:30 in the morning, Anthony? How come you're up and already at it?
Driving to work.
What do you do?
I'm a contractor, electrician.
Oh, good for you.
All
right. Wow, a man with an actual skill.
I like it.
Yeah. Allie wants to know if you're single.
What are you wearing, Anthony?
I'm not
lying.
Hey, good news.
Okay.
But good news.
Good
thank you, Anthony. Thank you for helping us.
All right, no problem.
All right, bye now. And everybody else that called, thank you.
So we are back.
We think we're back.
Fantastic.
Wouldn't it be funny if we started giving away the Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets again and they just go dead?
Look, the phone company hates
the
Chili Peppers.
We killed the phone.
I don't like that band.
That's exactly what we were doing when the phones died 2 days ago.
So anyway, did I finish Dream Car? Yes?
Yes, premiere,
new music, whole thing? Okay, so that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
Thursday morning, Ralph's taking the day off, filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Allie McKay is here. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
Another breakup, you guys.
Uh-oh.
In Hollywood.
And this hurts you because you love love.
I love love so much.
Is this a bachelor and or bachelorette?
No.
No, okay.
No, these are actually real people that were in it for the right reasons.
I see.
Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom have ended... Yeah. Def Tuba. Have ended their relationship after 10 months of dating. But here's why it's kind of amusing to me. Remember the conscious uncoupling between Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, that's what they called breaking up.
They called breaking up a conscious uncoupling. Well,
Katie in Orlando, we're not going to let them be the only one to coin a phrase that ridiculous. This is the quote from their reps in a statement. Before rumors of falsifications can get out of hand, we can confirm that Orlando and Katie are taking respectful, loving space at this time.
Respectful,
loving space. Why can't you just say we broke up?
You are a murderer of love!
That would even be better.
You know that's what was said.
Right? Orlando is a murderer of love, and we couldn't do it anymore. But come on. Respectful, loving space. Here's my favorite part. E! News can exclusively reveal what went wrong between the two. The source reveals Katie pulled the plug. It was a few events that happened over the past few months. They both still love each other very much. But getting back together soon could happen once they have some space. Another source, however, tells us that the split was mutual. What kind of exclusive is that?
Yeah.
You just said that Katie pulled the plug, then another source said it was mutual. That's the worst exclusive I've ever heard.
But they also said that they might get back together in the future, so they got that covered.
You know what?
They're covering all their options.
Yeah, once they have that loving space that is also respectful.
That's a lot of breaking down a relationship of people, you know, that we're not.
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
I don't even know what it meant.
Meaning, who's spending all this time worrying about somebody else's relationship and why they broke up? We're not those people, so why do we care?
No, we don't really.
We don't. I was just making fun of the loving, respectful space is what was happening there. Big tour news, you guys, this summer. Are you ready for this one?
Depeche Mode, I'm sure.
And now, a breaking news bulletin. Well, Depeche Mode, yeah. They're coming to the Hollywood Bowl in October. That's going to be huge. We know that.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. This is huge.
This was a success.
I haven't told you
Not yet.
Oh. Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears.
Yeah,
I know. The kids love them. They're uniting for a co-headlining North American tour this summer. 29 dates. Kicks off May 4th in Oklahoma and ends July 28th in L.A.
Those are two acts from the 80s that have stood the test of time.
Absolutely. Kevin.
Is someone else playing with them?
What else do you need? You've got Hall & Oates, and you've also got Tears for Fears.
Sounds like openers.
How dare you? I can't believe those words.
And then the headliner comes out.
Who's bigger than Hall & Oates, Kevin?
Oh, dear Lord. Practically everyone being.
How dare you?
You've obviously never seen Hall & Oates in concert.
No, I have not.
It's a party. Let me just say that. And Tears for Fears, remember Acoustic Christmas like 3 years ago? I thought they were probably top two bands that year.
They were great.
Amazing.
Would you have gone to the Forum just for them?
I actually did.
Okay.
They were my favorite band on the bill a few years ago.
Oh, but it was Acoustic Christmas.
It was Acoustic Christmas, yeah.
Right.
But if it was just Tears for Fears, absolutely. What if it was Tears for Fears, Elbow, and The Killers in Hyde Park in London? Would I go to that?
I'm guessing yes.
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, this is a great concert.
It's a great summer.
I can go for that. No? No can do? All right. Hey, another 80s band, the Jesus and Mary Chain. Remember them?
Sure. File that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like Honey, Psycho Candy.
Uh-huh.
They are going to be touring as well. A big North American tour in the spring. I need to look into this because it says they're going to open up in St. Paul, Minnesota on May 9th and wrap up on the 24th in Vancouver. Is that a two-week tour?
That's a two-week tour.
Pretty sure.
I think maybe they left out what the actual month was at the end, because that seems really in need of an announcement.
Hasn't it been like 20 years or something since they toured? I mean, they haven't been around long.
This will be their first new album in 18 years. It's called Damage and Joy. It'll be out on March 23rd.
But I don't know what kind of built-in audience there still is for that band.
Oh, that's going to be fun, people watching. And Rodney.
Yes. And Rodney, sure.
So much Rodney.
Sure.
Happening there as well. You guys, we've been very concerned about Chris Hardwick not working enough.
Sure.
How many shows does he have? He has the Talking Dead on AMC. Right. Mm-hmm. He has the Plinko game show.
The Wall.
He's
at Midnight.
At Midnight.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Also does podcasts whenever he can. Yes. Stand up as well.
Yes.
Right.
Well, don't worry. You guys know about Talking Dead on AMC. Well, Variety says Talking Dead is being expanded, so it'll air 11 p.m. on Sunday nights, even when new episodes of The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead are not airing. So it's going to be a new hour-long talk show called Talking with Chris Hardwick. It's going to feature Chris interviewing various guests from pop culture, not specifically one of the cast members of The Walking Dead.
Okay, so is this so during the season, is this replacing Talking Dead?
That's confusing.
Or they'll just kind of transition into the...
Yeah, I think sometimes it'll be Talking Dead when that show is on, and then Fear the Walking Dead, he'll still do Talking Dead, but then when those shows are off for the season, it'll be changed to Talking with Chris Hardwick.
All right.
Okay.
It's a lot of Chris Hardwick, and I don't hate it. Right?
He's so good at it.
He's so good. So good. We have had Christian Serratos in, right? Rosita Espinosa from The Walking Dead?
Yes, we have.
And you loved her, and you thought she was cute as a button?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's expecting a little baby in her belly with her boyfriend, David Boyd. She is pregnant, which I'm not sure how that factors into the show. I mean, I guess you can get pregnant in a zombie apocalypse, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people boning.
Yeah, Rick and his wife had a baby. Yeah.
Had a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal.
It's hard to run.
Hard to run.
Okay.
Yeah. Tons
of death
everywhere. The best world to bring a baby into, for sure.
That is true. Plus, my God, you're always so hungry when you're pregnant.
Right.
And there's not a lot of food.
Right.
She should rethink this. Right?
Well, I think she's pregnant in real life.
Uh-huh.
And then you're talking about the issues of the show that aren't really affecting her.
I'm not sure what you're saying. Mm-hmm. All of these stars were born today, March the 2nd. Jon Bon Jovi is 55. Daniel Craig, 49. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. That was me rapping. I won't do that again.
I mean, but do it with heart.
I can't. He's 46. Chris Martin, Coldplay singer, is 40. Actress Rebel Wilson is 37. And Bryce Dallas Howard is 36. Wasn't it her dad's birthday yesterday?
It was.
I think it was.
Is that legal? Can you do that?
Yes, that's fine. Yes.
All right. I'm Allie McKay and Pharrell Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Could you explain the baby songs to me again, please, Kevin?
I mean...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Yes, right. I was.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, you're about to find out why we have baby songs on the mind, because we want to give away some more tickets to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center next week and qualify you for the chance to see them in Rio de Janeiro. Now, here's the thing. We were giving away just one pair every time we did a contest, but then we lost our telephones for the last few days, so we have extra tickets to give away. So I think everyone who ordinarily would qualify for this prize is actually going to win this prize today. How about that?
Awesome.
Right, so if you get yours right, you go.
That's right. That's how it is. You don't have to get into another drawing after you've gotten through. So that's what we're going to do right now. We got the callers on the line at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called the Red Hot Baby Peppers.
Red Hot Baby Peppers. Guess the lullaby. See them at Staples Center.
Oh, Bean, don't touch me there.
Oh,
Kevin.
Right over it. Lord. It's happening right now. All right, this is the exact point in this game where we lost the phones on Tuesday. But so far, they still seem to be holding. Who's our first contestant to play the Red Hot Baby Peppers?
First contestant is Omar in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks. All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
Omar, you are going to be on A New Moment with Kevin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All you have to do is identify the song. Good luck. Do I play it now, or is everybody...
No, not yet.
Just wait for a second so it can sink in. We're all still having fun, though, right?
Yes, we are very much. All right, Omar, listen up. Here's your song. What Red Hot Chili Pepper song is this, please? Can't take anymore. That is awful. That is
terrible.
Bad xylophone work. What tune is that, please?
Sounds like Zephyr. song?
I'm sorry, that's Under the Bridge. Sometimes I
feel like all right, so no tickets for Omar. Who's next, please?
All right, next is Danielle in Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, what's happening?
Daniel.
What did I say?
Daniel,
did
yeah.
I say Danielle?
Daniel, you know. Man. I'm a man, not a woman.
Tomato, tomato.
Apparently, Kevin's going to disagree with you on this one, Daniel. All right, listen up. Here's your lullaby. What Chili Pepper song is this, please? All right, Daniel, what say you?
Oh, my goodness. My friend?
Sorry, that's Danny California. Danny California. She never knew that there was
these are maybe all the big hits. Maybe you should have spent a little less time arguing with the host, Daniel. You have a little more time getting the answer right. Think about that.
He didn't know the rule that you're not supposed to help me.
Exactly, right.
So he jumped in and helped me. So that was pretty sweet. All right. These are the big hits, by the way. These are not smaller. We're not doing deep cuts for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
These are their big songs.
I got to tell you, and I consider myself pretty open-minded musically, this music should not exist.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Derek is our next contestant in Huntington Beach. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks. All right. Are you ready? We haven't given away any Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets yet.
And we're trying to give away lots of Red Hot Chili Pepper tickets. That's what's bad here.
All right.
Can I have the ones they lost on?
Nope. But you can have this one. Honestly, that band should be in a bag in the desert.
I would not get this one.
Am I right?
Let's see if Derek does. What song is that, please?
Can you play it one more time, please?
Nope. I'm sorry we can't.
Sorry.
But we will accept your guess now.
Yeah, just name a song.
One of their big...
What?
Can you give me a hint?
Yeah, it's a Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
It's a Red Hot Chili Pepper song, and it's one of their big ones.
How about a guess?
Other Side.
Sorry, it's Scar Tissue. With birds of shed,
it's lonely. 0 for 3 is the opposite of giving away extra tickets, but let's try again.
These are very difficult. Let's go to Leo in Riverside. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you ready for your lullaby?
Yeah, ready.
There you go. What song was that?
I'm just going to guess. Give it away.
Yes,
how
it is Give It Away. That is how to play the game, Leo. Congratulations. You're going to see the Chili Peppers at Staples Center next week. You're qualified for a chance to see them in Rio as well. Well done, sir.
One. Let's go to Alex in Monterey Park. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
I hope.
Good luck.
Got to track these musicians down and kill them.
Agreed.
We have to. We have to take them out. We have to smote them.
We do have to smote them.
Do you not smote them? Do you really smite them? What do you do? I thought you smote them.
I think you smite, but I wasn't born in the Bible times, so I don't know.
Right. Alex, what song are we looking for here?
I believe that was Soul to Squeeze.
Yes! Yes! I got a
bad disease. All right. One as well. We are on a roll now. Let's try another one, shall we?
Let's go to Eric in Yucaipa. Hi.
Hello, how's it going, guys?
Good. How have you been doing on hold?
The only one I didn't get was Give It Away.
All right, so 4 out of 5, not bad. Okay, are you ready for yours?
I'm ready, boy.
Here you go.
All right, Eric, dazzle us.
Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got this one either.
I don't know. I'm just going to guess Snow.
Oh, sorry, it's a good guess, but it can't stop.
All right, I'm sorry to say we're out of time. We have room for just one more.
All right, let's go to Camillo in Orange. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good. Are you ready for your Red Hot Chili? Are you ready for your Red Hot Baby Pepper song?
Hopefully.
All right, here you go. Thank you.
said it.
What did you say?
Other side.
Other yes. side is correct. Nicely done. All right.
Well, that was painful, but for Camilo and Alex and Leo, it was worth it. They are all going to go see the Chili Peppers at Staples Center next weekend. They're eligible for the grand prize drawing to see the band in Rio de Janeiro. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 5. Believe it or not, more tickets you can win later this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Red Hot Baby Peppers.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come on, Kevin.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lister Omar. Well done, sir. Hey, listen. You guys, listen. No, seriously, listen. World premiere, brand new music, brand new band, Dream Car. Next half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Dream Car. This is our friend Davey Havoc, who was just in the building on Monday with his band AFI. And this is our friends Tom and Tony and Adrian from the band No Doubt. They are together with something completely different, completely new. We are so psyched to be able to be first in the world to play this song for you. And you are going to love it. I promise you.
That's a lot of promising going on right there.
I feel very confident about that. And by the way, who do we love more than all four of those guys? I mean, how fun is that they're in a group together now?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty great.
So we're very excited to welcome them to the show, Dream Car, next half hour. And by the way, we are going to also be Facebook Living that so you can watch the interview in addition to listen to it and interact. And I'm sure we'll have people from all over the world checking that out. So join us for that. Rob is out today. Allie's in with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
I need that again. I need it.
You need what again?
A Moment with.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How many times did you guess I've said that band correctly? A million?
Yes. Yes.
What's wrong with me?
How sweet was listener Omar, though?
Right?
He just wanted
just
to
jumped
help.
Right in and helped out.
Oh. I think we're gonna be hearing that again in our top 10 moments within the year.
Not even a question.
I'd rather not. Okay.
Do you want to hear it again now?
No, I want to do
sure?
Showbiz now.
Just one more?
I'd rather not.
One more.
Okay.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're gonna play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment All with right. Kevin.
Does All it get funnier to you?
Good time. No.
This
oh, no.
was a success.
This was not a success. Okay. I'll tell you that right now. All right, Ralph's out. Allie's in. Here's the showbiz.
All right, you guys. I don't know if you heard about this huge bidding war a couple days ago between all the publishing companies trying to land the Obamas for a book deal. Mm. Well, it was apparently done by Penguin Random House. They have come to offer the Obamas $65 million for a joint book deal. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's crazy.
$65 million.
And these days, there are very few books that sell a lot of copies anymore. Because let's face it, reading is for losers.
Right.
And I don't know how you make that money back. Unless it's some of it is prestige, you know, of just having the Obamas, you know, maybe that attracts other people to your publishing house if you've got that caliber of person writing a book for you. But I don't know how you make money on a deal like that.
Well, not to be outdone, Alec Baldwin has a book coming out. You, of course, know that he does a great impersonation of our current president, Donald Trump, on Saturday Night Live. Well, he's teaming with a co-writer, Kurt Anderson, for a book titled You Can't Spell America Without Me, the really tremendous inside story of my fantastic first year as President Donald J. Trump.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's happening. That book due out November 7th, nearly a year after Election Day. And he's going to be reading the audiobook as Trump. So right there. I mean, right there. So worth it. Who's with me?
The tone is such hatred.
Well, I don't think it'll be a real great book for Trump supporters, but
I don't think there's ever been a president elected who in this short period of time has done what we've done.
That's Alex's point.
Yeah, I think that's exactly his point and why he's doing it. It seems so long ago, but the Oscars were just on Sunday, you guys.
It does seem like it was about 3 weeks to a month ago, yeah.
Right. I think we're all pretty much over the big mix-up of envelopes when they announced La La Land as Best Picture, but really it was Moonlight and then the big flub on stage and, oh no, this is awful. Well, you know that whole saying, you'll never work in this town again?
Yes.
That's actually true for the two people from PricewaterhouseCooper.
Was it Martha?
Martha,
yeah.
And Brian.
Martha's shaky.
Yeah, Martha is shaky. But it was really Brian who messed it up.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
okay.
It was Brian. Because he was taking a picture of Emma Stone and tweeting it. So he wasn't paying attention to the envelopes.
He was tweeting.
He deleted the tweet. People saw it, screen capped it. Not a good situation. Mm. But basically, they're still employed as partners of the prestigious accounting firm. However, they're no longer permitted to tabulate Oscar votes or hand out envelopes.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yeah. Weird, weird stuff.
They're still doing my taxes, though, right?
They are still doing your taxes. And okay. I saw reports, and I hope they're not true, that somebody was posting their address, and now they have to have bodyguards because people...
Oh, I hope that's not.
That's insane. No.
Yeah, that is insane.
That's just... you guys, it's the Oscars. Has nothing to do with you. Calm down.
Right.
Bean sent me the story, which I thought was delightful. At least a few people can have a sense of humor about the mix-up. There's a theater called Rio Cinema in London that took advantage of the mishap on Sunday. They are doing screenings of the actual Best Picture, Moonlight.
Okay.
But instead... they play the first 20 seconds of La La Land. So you're sitting down, waiting to see Moonlight, and all of a sudden there's Gosling and Emma Stone dancing on the screen. And then they come out and they're like, oh, sorry, we messed up. And then the movie plays. I know. Excellent, right? And the general manager of the theater said, it would have been quite awkward if they didn't get the joke, but luckily they did. So everybody stood up, applauded. It was amazing. Good times had by all, you guys.
Excellent.
Says it right there. All right, let's get to some birthdays. Today, Jon Bon Jovi is 55. Actor Daniel Craig is 49. Method Man, 46. Coldplay singer Chris Martin is 40. And actress Bryce Dallas Howard is 36. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Tony, Adrian, Tom, and Davey. You know those names. Now they're in a band together called Dream Car. They're going to be joining us in studio coming up next here on K-Rock, as well as premiering a brand new song heard for the first time anywhere. Dream Car, Kill for Candy, coming up next on K-Rock. First, though, our old friend Tom DeLonge, back in the news, you guys.
What happened? What's the haps?
Well, Tom, you know, I'm sure he would like very much to be on Mars. Tom, of course, was with Blink 182 for 20-something years, also Angels of Airwaves. He's been a friend of the show and a friend of the station for a long time. We haven't talked to him in a while, but he is in the news right now because he has just received an award, the UFO Researcher of the Year.
Oh,
again, the UFO
prestigious.
Researcher of the Year. It is very prestigious, Allie. I'm glad you pointed it out because it comes from the well-known Open Minds Productions,
sure.
Whatever that is.
Oh, wow.
He has received this award for his efforts.
This is better than the Nobel Peace Prize.
It is, right?
It is.
For his efforts to expose a vast UFO cover-up within the government. He apparently, this is his thing that he has spent over 20 years working on, by the way, is trying to get to the truth of what the government won't tell us about aliens visiting the planet. And I guess I must have missed this in all the news last fall about the WikiLeaks hack, but apparently he had an email chain going back and forth with John Podesta. Do you know who he is, Kevin?
Oh, sure.
He was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager.
Oh, right.
And he was basically saying, hey, what about Area 51? What's going on with that? That's what John Podesta was spending his time doing instead of getting his candidate elected.
Wow.
He's dealing with Tom DeLonge about Area 51. So anyway, it's a very prestigious honor, apparently, and I think we have a little bit of tape of Mr. DeLonge accepting his award.
I'm Tom DeLonge, and I want to say thank you for acknowledging some of the hard work I've been putting into some subject matter that concerns us all. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a year or two. There's a lot that I can't say. But there's some that I can. I'm so appreciative that I've been acknowledged for this stuff, but I'm not done. I'm just like you guys. I've spent 20 years up all night reading about Roswell, Dulce, Serpo, Churchill,
right?
Crashes here, Nazis mm-hmm. building craft there, and
right?
Antarctica, and what's on Mars, and what's on the back of the moon, and structures, and anomalous this, and I mean, I've done it all. I know it all. Wow. I read all the same authors as you guys, hundreds of books. I look at all the same sites. I listen to all the coast-to-coast stuff that you guys do. I'm the same. I can't tell you what I'm about to announce.
Uh-oh.
If you look at my social media, at least on my Instagram, you'll see that I said there's going to be announcement,
right.
an announcement in like within the next 60-ish days.
Is it going to be big?
It's going to be pretty fantastic.
Okay.
I'll leave you with one thing.
Right. Yes.
Just remember that whatever happens in the civilian world,
right.
it's game on.
Game on.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Remember that.
Remember that it's game on.
We're going to war with aliens.
Maybe that's what it means.
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, it sounds like he was playing it pretty close to the vest in that speech. But we do have our friend Tom DeLonge on the phone on K-Rock, and maybe we can find out more about the upcoming war with the aliens. Hey, Tom, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Pete and Howie. I'm in my secret bunker in space. Yeah.
Wait, your bunker's in space?
Yeah, somewhere in a galaxy where I can't give you the coordinates because your civilian mind is too fragile.
I see. Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Well, listen, Tom, forgive my ignorance on this topic, but I'm not nearly as learned as you are. I recognize, of course, a couple of the things.
No. You're just like, we're all the same. I read the same book.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, of course, same book. I've heard of Roswell, and I've heard of the Nazis building crafts and a few of the things that you mentioned, but I don't know what Dulce is and Serpo and Churchill and what's the controversy about what's on the back of the moon. Can you kind of fill us in on what we've been missing up till this point?
There's entire civilizations that the government's covered up that exist all through the galaxy, and I've been working with them hand in hand, all the aliens. And they're rad, and they're Dulce, and the new Gabbana. Yeah.
Wait, is Dulce and Gabbana?
Yeah, that's exactly. Look further into the conspiracy that Italian designers are actually from Mars.
I see. Okay.
The rings of Saturn.
Okay, now
you don't even want to know where Giorgio Armani's from.
Okay, have you met a real life alien?
What? Dumbest question ever.
Okay, my bad.
We're all the same.
I'm in a room with aliens right now.
Is that
right?
Oh, wow. That's big news.
Tom,
by the way.
I'm in a strip club in space. It's called Dark Side of the Poon.
Sounds like a pretty fun place to visit.
I wasn't planning on saying that. It came to me. I'm totally okay with that joke.
That's important.
And scene.
That's important info. Thank you, Tom. Wow. All right. That's the best strip club ever. All right. We need to take a break. As soon as we come back, world premiere, new music, and the band Dream Car will be in studio. That is brand new AFI called Kill for Candy for the first time on the world.
Nope.
Did I say AFI?
You did.
God damn it.
Let me tell you why.
I don't know why.
Sorry, David.
You're a dick.
Let me tell you why. Because it...
You're just a dick.
Because it's labeled that way in our machine for some reason. It
we
says
think we were
Kill
trying
for
to
candy,
hide it.
Sabotage. AFI, so.
Someone is getting fired.
And is that me?
I think it might be you.
That's how we're coming out of the game.
Wow.
You guys should know that when you come on our show.
We agreed on this, right?
Right. I mean, you take it.
Here's our theory, you guys, is because this song was super secret and we were afraid that it was going to get leaked. We were terrified. God bless you guys for giving it to us last night so we could hear it, but we were terrified. So we kind of hid it in the computer system here at K-Rock so that nobody would find it under Dream Car. So I think that's why they labeled it like that.
Will Ferrell.
Are we having headphone problems?
I'm like Will Ferrell. I read whatever's up on the screen.
Yes, so, exactly.
It says AFI. All right. I say AFI.
Let me reintroduce, ladies and gentlemen, some of our oldest and best friends in the whole wide world are in here on the studio right now. Tony Canal, ladies and gentlemen, Adrian Young, Tom DeMont, and Davey Havoc all together. The band is called Dream Car, and you just heard the world premiere of their brand new song called Kill for Candy. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
I remember hearing from, I think it was Tony at the Weenie Roast, that this project has been going on for a while. Like, you guys are kind of, even though this is the first time we've heard music from y'all, this relationship has gone back years, right?
It has. We actually, Davey and I just figured out that we've been doing this for 3 years now.
this, this started
years.
Back in May of 2014. We actually, the way this worked is Tom, Adrian, and I knew we wanted to keep playing together. And it wasn't about finding a singer or looking for a singer. It was about somebody kind of coming onto our radar.
Right.
And Davey kind of became apparent that we wanted to ask Davey. So we asked him out on a date.
And, sweet.
Where'd you go?
What a great date.
We went to one of our favorite restaurants called Crossroads.
What were you wearing?
Were you wearing a Clash shirt?
I was probably wearing a Clash shirt.
I was wearing no shirt.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
As well as one of our favorite restaurants because they sustain that when I
that is nice.
There.
Adrian was wearing just the bikini bottom.
Sure.
That's
I was trying
it.
To be easy. I wanted, you know.
Sure.
Which is
well,
how
I
go
easy on the first date with Adrian.
Sure.
Like
Crossroads
it easy.
Is, that's Travis Barker's place, so anything goes, right? You can show up at anything.
Exactly.
All right. So you guys get together. Now, I'm fascinated with this. Now, Davey, did you know why you were invited out to dinner? Did you know that this was going to be some sort of an overture?
I did. It wasn't sprung upon me. I was emotionally prepared for what we were to speak of.
Did it feel a little bit like an interview?
It felt like a date.
All right.
Like a date, okay. It really did, except I wasn't...
Because is everything in bands, and I just wonder how you either have it or you don't sometimes.
There was chemistry. Well, this was, you know, the chemistry actually really came later. It was very much like, it was like a date, and but less traumatic. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of getting to know each other and talking about music, and specifically our music, and what our music would be in very minimal terms. But we sat down and talked about writing together and possibly, you know, forming what is now Dream Car. And it was a fantastic experience to just meet with these guys. And I was really excited at the prospect.
Sure.
And then when I went back up the hill and got below my friend's garage where I was staying and listened to the first four songs that they sent me, it was very clear that it was something that I very, very much needed to be a part of. Well, and it was so inspirational. And you heard one of those songs.
Yes.
Our
so
listeners
good.
Just heard one of those songs.
So
it makes my 80s heart explode with happiness.
Oh,
it's
thank you.
Everything that I loved about K-Rock in the 80s.
Wow.
Everything.
Wow.
How did you decide as a new band what your sound was going to be? Like, how did you guys pick...
Yeah, how do you put that into words, too, in a meeting where you're not playing music together, you're just talking about music?
Without trying to sound too cheesy, it was totally organic. I mean, there wasn't a discussion of we're going to be this kind of band or that kind of band.
There wasn't a we don't want to sound too much like No Doubt and we don't want to sound too much like AFI.
That didn't need to be said.
Yeah, that conversation never happened.
Okay. Yeah,
it just never happened.
Okay.
We were basically an experimental group. We didn't know it was going to be Dream Car, and it was going to be a band in the beginning. And we just kept creating, writing, and demoing. And, you know, this is what you have. You have something that was not filtered too much, and, you know, it's pretty honest.
Was there any concern from any of you guys that Davey's schedule – juggling two other bands already might be a problem with trying to get this project off the ground?
Davey was really honest with us from the first moment we met him that he is involved in 18 other bands.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that from the get-go.
He's a part-time lover. That's what you got in Davey.
Exactly. So we knew that going into
right?
it. So,
that's
yeah.
what we were looking for.
A lot too of experience.
Because Davey was already here this week.
A lot
playing.
Of experience. Exactly. I was here the other
so
day.
So this is your second time to K-Rock.
Mm-hmm. I have my, week. As I said, that spot in the basement where I stay and I come up in the middle of the night and
I
clean.
No, there was a basement, but okay.
It's small.
Okay.
Small, lush.
If you are just
Jonathan
joining
Adler
us here,
everywhere.
If you're just joining us here on K Rock or watching on Facebook Live around the world, by the way, we are talking to the band Dream Car. We just world premiered their brand new single called "Kill for Candy" that we're going to be playing again in a minute. Tony, Adrian, Tom, and Davey are all in studio with us, and we actually do have some information that is brand new too for Dream Car fans, and that includes the album, which is done and is coming out. Do I have this right? On May 12th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's going to be titled Dream Car.
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
How many songs? At one point, I know there was talk of around 30 demos. How many songs did you guys end up actually completing and put on the record?
Well, there are 12 tracks on the record.
Yeah. Okay.
12.
Yeah, we've completed a few more that are about in our pockets. Mm-hmm. But we did write upwards close to 30 songs, correct?
How about that?
29 and a half songs.
29 and a half. That half one. Boy.
Is it a difficult process to weed those out, to weed it down to 12?
It was a bit challenging.
I mean, did one of you, like, love a song and the other three were like, ah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm still bitter.
You still are?
Okay,
good. There's a couple songs. These guys messed up.
We knew since the Coachella announcement that was going to be the debut show that was on the schedule. But now you've creeped that back a little bit. You're going to get some practice in before Coachella, right? Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Some club shows warming up.
So let's announce that.
All right.
Oh.
Okay.
Tony.
Okay, here we go. April 5th, we are going to be in Santa Ana, California, Orange County, doing the Constellation Room at the Observatory.
April 5th?
Okay. April 5th. April 9th, we're going to San Francisco at the Great American Music Hall. April 11th is the Roxy in Los Angeles.
Fun.
April 19th is San Diego at the Music Box. And April 20th is the Crescent Ballroom in Phoenix, Arizona.
And then both weekends of Coachella
as
well.
That's right. Yeah, yes. Saturday at Coachella.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting.
All right. Well, we have many more questions for the boys. Again, Dream Car is here on K-Rock. Kill for Candy is the new song. Allie, will your heart stand it if we play it again?
I want you to a lot.
Oh, one more thing before we go to break. When Tony read those announcements, that was the cue for the tickets to go on sale. That those are not only the dates.
It was my voice that made those tickets go on sale?
Pretty much.
Wow. So not only do you now know the dates, you can buy tickets right now through the official website at dreamcarmusic.com. So go immediately. Santa Ana, San Francisco, Los Angeles at the Roxy, San Diego, and Phoenix. So they are up right now. We'll play the new music, Kill for Candy, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Dream Car on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. All four guys are in the studio with us, and we're very excited. We've run into all of you guys at different times. We run into Tony at every show we have.
Every show.
I ran into Davey at Coachella last year.
Yes.
And I was asking him questions, and he would just say, soon. Soon.
Soon is now.
Soon is
how,
now.
How soon is now?
How soon is now? I'm very excited.
Had to.
Soon is now.
Soon
you
is
guys,
now.
You guys have really kept all the details about this project pretty close to the vest until today. Like, everything is being revealed today. It must feel like Dream Car's birthday, sort of, I bet.
It does.
You know, I wanted to say that we spent the first almost year and a half of this band writing in secrecy because we had no idea what this was going to be. And
did you know if it was going to be something?
We didn't.
You didn't even know that?
We were doing this experimental band, and we were having so much fun working together. And aside from, like, our significant others, we didn't tell anyone. And so it kind of created this beautiful, pure place to write music. There was no pressure. There was no managers, no record company, nobody to actually have to even worry about bouncing stuff off. We were just being creative and having a great time and expressing ourselves. And I think that was a really great place to start from.
And at what point did you say, okay, this is officially a band?
The kids at Stumptown figured it out.
We can do this. What?
When the kids at Stumptown figured it out.
Okay.
We would go into Stumptown.
Oh, we're
like,
getting
why
coffee.
Why are they all
together? Yeah. We would get coffee at Stumptown. We'd all be there, and
so
the kids would be like,
two and two, and said, hey.
Like, so you guys are a band? No.
You're
a band.
You're a band. No, you're a band.
So you're making coffee?
So once you have the record, do you then, is the old school, hey, we still shop around and see what label wants to sign us thing? Is that still happening, or do you release it yourself, or what do you do in 2017?
That was the question. I think we had gotten to a point where, yeah, we had written 20 songs, and we rented a spot at downtown LA Rehearsal, which is like a brick bunker with 30 bands and rooms. And I think we had written 20 songs, and we just looked at each other and we said, I think we have an album here. Let's keep writing, but let's talk to some friends and go get a record deal. Let's do this.
All right. How quickly did that go? I mean, I imagine.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
Who'd you end up with? Who's putting the record out?
We are at Columbia Records with our friend Mark Williams, who we've worked with in the past, and he's just a great creative partner. It's been
awesome.
Yeah.
If you guys weren't here for the first segment, we're talking to Dream Car here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You just heard the brand new song "Kill for Candy" again, which is available now. The album is coming out on May the 12th. It is self-titled. It is called Dream Car, and we also announced a bunch of tour dates. By the way, you know, because we're Facebook Living this, we're hearing from people all over the world right now. Michissimo writes in: "It's 2:30 in the morning here in Newcastle, Australia, but I'm awake for this, and it's totally worth it." Jade says: "I'm obsessed already. The song is so beautiful." Katie says: "Want to see Davey's dance moves when he performs this record." We're getting salutes from Tijuana, Mexico, from Roberto. Ryan, "Just bought my Roxy tickets. See you there, guys." Yeah. Britt, "Just got my tickets for Santa Ana." So you're selling a bunch of tickets right now through dreamcarmusic.com. You can buy dates. The local dates are April 5th in Santa Ana at the Constellation Room at the Observatory and April 11th at the Roxy. So those dates are up right now, dreamcarmusic.com.
Now I have a question for you. You're talking about a bunch of these smaller dates in April, and you're also playing Coachella, and your album's not out yet.
Uh-huh.
So
we're just going to play Kill for Candy 12 times.
Over and over again? Mm-hmm. What are you going to play? Mm-hmm. Are you going to play some? Are you going to play covers? Are you going to how do you fill out a set?
It will be people's first experience with the Dream Car record.
The whole thing.
I don't know that we'll play the whole thing.
Okay, a lot of it.
Most of it.
But most of it.
Yeah.
Maybe a cover. Any suggestions? Mm-hmm.
Oh, any suggestions?
Wow,
on the spot.
I was not prepared. Brick House?
Ooh.
Comes to mind?
Ooh.
I mean, you know.
Wow, it does.
You could do worse. I'm not positive why that
it does
comes to
come
mind.
To mind?
It does. I don't know why.
It's interesting.
I have to say, it is so exciting just to talk about playing shows.
Yeah, right? It's really exciting.
Yes.
It's going to be very fun.
Is that really difficult to be excited about something for 3 years and not be able to talk to anyone about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it wasn't a big secret. We just weren't talking about it until we knew what it was going to be.
Of course. I mean, you can't, because then it'll fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
If you talk about it.
I know you're going to be asked this question a million times before this band is done.
So be the first. Go ahead.
I hope you're not tired of it yet.
Oh, Bean. Must we?
We must.
Must we? Okay, I got this one.
What is the question I'm about to ask?
Davey doesn't even know the question.
No, I don't know. All right. I don't know. I'm not going to feed it.
When you're starting a band, part of the struggle is, what are we going to call this thing? And I would imagine that most bands go through 500 names before they get to one that sounds right.
1,321 is
that
how many
doesn't
we
surprise
went
me at all. I want you to take me through what that process was like, and if it turns out to be as easy as everything else, and you guys say, "Oh no, someone just said it, and it was great, and we all loved it," then I'm going to be very disappointed.
It was the only struggle.
I want to hear that this was a struggle.
Could I hear Bean's impression of you guys again,
so,
please?
Tell me how
tell me
about the process.
It started really early on. There was one name for the band that I suggested very, very early on that we sat on for years and years and years. But not years and years and years, about 2 years.
Right. Are you allowed to say?
Years and years.
Have we burned that
name
now?
You know, I don't know that I want to say what it is, because it's actually the name of another band, which is in 2016.
What do you think?
You heard of that before?
It was Bauhaus.
Who knows this band? Did you say?
It was Bauhaus, B-O-W.
Bauhaus.
Changing it up.
B-O-W.
Yeah.
H-O-U-S-E.
I mean, why not?
That's actually
Bow Wow. Bow Wow House.
Thank you.
Right,
Bow
Wow
Wow
House.
Huh?
Two Adrians.
Write it down. All right. So you had a name that you sat on for a while, and then what?
Someone owned it.
Okay.
There is a band in 2017.
Okay.
If you take any pre-existing word, there is a band with that name. And if you take another pre-existing word and put it together, there's a band with that name, because – it's 2017, and the internet allows everyone to be a band.
Right.
And lawyers.
So who came up with Dream Car?
Lawyers don't like
Davey
that.
Came up with Dream Car. And it was.
I did.
We had to sit on it for a bit. Like, mm-hmm. The initial reaction was, this is cool. But as with other names that were suggested, they had like a shelf life. Like, they were exciting for a second, and then all of a sudden you're like, that is freaking terrible. Mm-hmm. And so we actually had to live with it for a little bit, and then it stuck. And that, we were like, okay, this makes sense.
Did you not toss around any other possible answers?
Oh, we had.
After that one, you had a bunch. I know you had a bunch, but I'm saying once Dream Car was out there, no?
I feel like that was it.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
That seemed to seemed to be the one.
What does that word mean to you when you hear Dream Car?
For me, Dream Car is so evocative, and it's evocative in different ways depending on the person that's hearing it. I think it can evoke images of sentiment. It can evoke sentimentality. It can speak to the future. It can speak to the ideal. It can speak to the inattainable. It can speak to Americana. It can speak to worldwide thoughts. You know, something classic, something futuristic. Mm. There's so many images and feelings that it imparts. And I think with the multifaceted band that we're doing, it well informed, it well encompassed what we do. In addition, it has a dreamlike quality to it. You know, there's a dreaminess to it, and there's a softness, and there's something esoteric and mystical about it. And all of those sentiments can be drawn from what we do once you hear. What we do.
Speaking of once you hear what we do, is Kill for Candy representative
of Dream Car?
Dream Car of the rest of the album.
Yeah, I would say excellent. So. I think it's very representative of the record. There's certainly different movements and different moments in the record, and they're
good because I love it.
Thank you.
I'm so happy about that.
There's lots of stuff going on, but I think there is a great continuity to it. Tom Dumont, I feel you want to say something.
I think
it's going to be much more profound than what I said.
No. I just think, the thing I love about working with Davey is he's...
I like what Tom's about to say.
This is not what I expected, but I'm thrilled.
Can I tell you something? When Davey records vocals, he takes his shirt off every time.
Is that right?
And so when we were doing demos at my house, he'd come down, like my wife would be making dinner for my kids, and Dave would come down shirtless with his tattoos, and I'd be like, dude, put your shirt on in front of me.
Please, can you get out of my house? But, who is this guy? I'm like, I got a track.
The thing I was really say is that Davey's like a romantic, and I think he talks about this band.
No, nope. I don't think that's...
That's not what we're talking about.
I heard shirt off, working out.
I don't think that's
romantic. Wife walks into the room.
It's not a sexy thing. I don't think
that's where we were going.
I'm pretty sure that's not it.
But he's, he's like a new romantic.
Oh. Well, thank you, Tom.
Let's see what you did there.
In a tragic sense.
There's so much love in the room, you guys.
We had a great
time.
So much
love.
Check us out in 2 more years.
This is just on camera. Check us out once we get off camera.
I've just received word, by the way, that the Roxy show is sold out. So, Ali, I'm sorry. Sorry for you.
It's Santa Ana's sold out as well.
Santa Ana.
Yeah.
Southern California. Thank you.
They're representing.
Thank you.
We have. Want to say hi to our Facebook Live viewers. Checking in from Carmel, California, from Seattle, Washington, Denver, from Florida, Boston, Arizona, Cleveland, Chicago, San Antonio, Michigan, Toronto, Seoul, South Korea, Brisbane, and Wales, all checking out the interview here this morning from Dream Car as well.
Wales?
Wow, yeah.
So apparently some.
So we announced a bunch of April dates, and you're playing Coachella. Then is there any news on what you're going to do after that as far as touring?
We're talking about some East Coast dates around the release of the album.
Yeah,
fantastic. Putting that together now.
Can I say how much fun this is and how honored we are that you guys chose to world premiere your song on K-Rock? That means so much to us.
Thank you for having us.
And yeah. Tony, you and I were talking just very briefly right before we went on that this kind of has flashbacks to how many years ago when you came in with Just a Girl?
You know, I don't even think we were in the studio that day. You guys premiered the song on your show in the morning in 1995, 22 years ago.
Wow.
It's
wow.
So spectacular.
But it wasn't long after that you guys came down, because I remember because Gwen Cook made chocolate chip cookies that morning and brought them down.
That's
so I'm actually a little bit disappointed Davey didn't bring anything.
I brought coffee. Would you like some?
Okay. That's yeah, we're old
Bean,
guys.
I brought you this offering.
Thank you. I'll take it. So I guess we're old, but we're all still lucky to be doing what we love.
We're so lucky.
Yes. And we're so happy for you guys, and we're so happy to have this song, Kill for Candy, to play. And I know we're going to be playing it a lot. So congratulations. Dream Car is here, you guys. They're a thing.
Thank you for your support. For all of us.
Go to dreamcarmusic.com for all the details. We'll see you boys again soon, all right?
Thank you. See you soon.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. How about Dream Car, you guys?
That was so fun.
How about that?
That song is so good.
The song is so good, but I mean, I love those guys.
I love all of those guys so much,
yep. You know. So, and we're hearing such wonderful things about the rest of the record coming out in May. So we can't wait. All right, it is Thursday morning. That means our usual visit with Jim Rome coming up right after the top of the hour. Dr. Drew at 9 right now. Allie is in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's new? What's going on?
Hey, you guys had mentioned wanting to buy Neverland Ranch, but it was just too expensive at $100 million.
It was a little out of our budget range.
A little
range.
Steep. Well, they have dropped the asking price by $33 million.
Wow.
What?
Now it's almost a bargain.
I'm saying. Yeah, it was originally listed in 2015 for $100 million, but now lowered to $67 million. It's now called Sycamore Valley Ranch, and although a lot has been changed, you can still visit the train station and see the flowery clock reading Neverland on the property. Other than that, I think,
left?
Yeah. Maybe like a 8x10 of bubbles. That's it.
Well, what about the train and the roller coaster and
all
that
stuff?
Oh,
where I said you could visit the train station. Oh,
the train station is still there? Is the train still there?
No, just the station.
Oh, all right.
I assume the train's there. Do you think they'd take the train out and just leave the station?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to get for my money here.
Well, what about the clock? Do you think the clock is there?
It sounds like they scrubbed the place.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to. Look. Look, you couldn't clean those carpets. They'd have to be replaced.
Oh, my hell.
Oh. I mean, bloodstains. Come on.
Bean. Just, yes, unfortunately, I mean. Yes.
All right, how about some happy news? Elle King. Remember when she played acoustic and
yes.
How awesome she was?
Fantastic.
What a voice.
Well, she's taking her act to reality television. She's going to star in an episode of Say Yes to the Dress. You guys are dudes with lives. You probably haven't seen that show.
I have not.
I have a ton.
Okay.
It's basically a bride goes into a bridal shop, tries on a bunch of different dresses. Mom is usually there. Sometimes the mother-in-law is
there.
Wow,
I got to tell you, that sounds like exciting TV.
Well, there's usually a lot of drama. The mother wants one thing, a higher neckline. Oh, my God, too much cleavage, that type of thing. And then they finally say yes to the dress. Well, she'll be on it, you guys. Okay. That's exciting.
Okay.
Right?
That was the good news?
Well, I was trying to get away from the carpet talk at Neverland. Some weird news. You know that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston used to be dating way back in the day?
Right.
And then he left her in 2005 and got married to Angelina. A lot of bad stuff happening with him and Angelina and custody and weirdness and all of that. Well, sources are telling Us Weekly that Brad Pitt has been texting Jennifer Aniston, reached out to her on her birthday last month.
She's married to another dude now.
She is married to Justin Theroux. But he apparently has been confiding to his former love that he's going through a lot, a tough time. Jennifer, change your number. F you, Brad. If this is true, no.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that it's true.
Yeah, I do too.
For some reason, the tabloids took it hard that those two broke up. And I feel like a lot of headline writers have been trying to get them back together ever since.
Absolutely.
It does seem like they've been on the cover of every other magazine for 5 years. How long?
For 12 years. Yeah.
Yes, it seems. They're endless stories with those two.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
I think she's doing all right.
Yeah,
I think so,
Justin
too.
Justin Theroux's hot. Yeah. She's doing okay.
Right.
She's always on vacation in bikinis. Looking like she's 20.
Sure.
I hate her. You guys, interesting stuff came out about Beauty and the Beast yesterday. The director, Bill Condon, revealed in an interview that Gaston's sidekick, LeFou, who's played by Josh Gad, will explore his sexuality in a small but significant subplot during the film.
And why is this news?
Is this a Disney movie?
Yes. This will be the first time, basically, that Disney has had an exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. So word is that Gaston's sidekick, LeFou? I don't know. He's not the teacup, is he? He's the actual human? Okay. Oh, then
I'm guessing.
The one, like, really super insecure and dorky and... All right. Well, apparently, he's going to be confused about what he wants. And the quote is, it's somebody who's just realizing that he has all these feelings. And Josh makes something really subtle and delicious out of it.
You must see that movie.
Yeah, Rodney's in.
It is really something.
It is. Well, it's not out until...
The series and the sets and the camera angles and everything is just amazing.
It's, it's not out until...
You can get that on Hulu.
It's not out yet.
Again, not out until...
DVD or something.
No, it's not.
Until March 17th.
You can find it.
No.
You can't find it yet.
March 17th in theaters.
March 17th, Beauty and the Beast hits theaters. Interesting. Interesting.
I feel like it's going to be a good time when that's not news.
Yeah, exactly.
When the fact that there's a gay character in a Disney movie isn't just not news.
Right?
Yeah.
And let's be honest.
Because, spoiler alert, there are gay people in the world.
Right.
And spoiler alert, Elsa, who's with me, right? Right? I don't. Nobody? Mm. Okay, good times. We've got some birthdays coming up. One of which is Coldplay singer Chris Martin. He is turning 40. We're going to have some new music from Coldplay in the next Showbiz Beat, so stay tuned for that. Rapper Method Man is 46. Actor Daniel Craig is 49. Rebel Wilson is 37. And singer Jon Bon Jovi is 55. Anybody else scoop around and give him extra cookie dough when he ordered that at Ben & Jerry's when they were 16? I did.
That was your all-time favorite celebrity interaction, right?
It was pretty much
serving Jon Bon Jovi ice cream.
Ice cream. And then I literally said to him, I scooped around and gave you extra cookie dough. And then I got so mortified that I said it that I just walked away. I didn't have
the right thing.
I just walked away and went to the back.
That's what you do when you're ashamed of yourself.
It was a total Dirty Dancing I Carried a Watermelon moment. It was awful.
It's a walk of shame.
Oh, it was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he remembers. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Thursday mornings, 8:05, Mean Jim Rome.
You want to try that one again, Kevin?
Thursday mornings, 8:05, means Jim Rome.
Jim Rome, that's how he's pronounced, right. Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is the podcast. If you can't hear the show when it airs live, 9 till noon at jimrome.com. You can get it at play.it or iTunes. It's the best of the show for that particular day. The takes, the interviews, the calls, the sound bites, and so much more. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Ain't no harm, no foul, Kerwin. Kerwin and Bean, it's all good. What's up? Yeah, what's up?
Well, it's great to talk to you. There's a lot going on in sports this week, and I can't believe it, but the NFL, we always talk about how it's become a year-round thing just to keep up with all the news. And right now, there's a lot of teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. Can you kind of recap what's going on with all of this with the franchise tag yesterday and what's going on with Jimmy G, and what do you know? What's happening, Jim?
All right, first of all, guys, full transparency, I napped it out last night in my bioceramic Tom Brady recovery pajamas in anticipation of that question. I feel sharp. I feel like I woke up having slammed 5 cups of coffee already.
Right?
Hey, no, not right. They don't work, I don't think. Allie, good news. This is Director Reddit, Allie. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter of ESPN reports the Patriots are not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. So you've got nothing to worry about. Isn't that awesome?
If I believed it, yes.
Ding, ding. He's fired. It's a load of crap. She's right.
Right?
If anybody in the NFL is saying anything this time of year, go ahead and assume that it's a lie, especially if it's the hoodie.
Yeah.
So what's going
and
on here is...
especially when it's one of the biggest guys that everybody wants to get as a quarterback.
So what's going on here, and you probably know this, Allie, because you know all this stuff,
they're
not going to trade him, or at least they're saying that because they don't like what they're being offered for him. They're looking to jack up the price. We know how this goes. We always want what we don't have, and then we're willing to overpay for it. I do it all the time myself. As an example, when the new iPhone comes out, if I have to wait 8 weeks for it, I take my life into my own hands. I meet some sketchy dude off Craigslist, and I pay like 50% over what it would ordinarily cost because I want what I don't have. Belichick knows this. He's looking to jam a moron like me, you know, like the Cleveland Browns. Trust me, you could trade for this guy no matter what they're saying.
But isn't Tom Brady almost 40? I mean,
he's not going anywhere.
Nowhere.
He'll be
he's
good a couple.
What do you mean he's going nowhere? How long can he play?
A couple more years. Plus, they've got Brissette.
In those bioceramic pajamas, he can play forever.
I heard those don't work.
No, yeah, I don't think they do at all. Look, the guy just played. He is approaching 40, but he played one of the best seasons he's ever had. He just came back in the Super Bowl from 25 points down. The guy wants to play 4 or 5 more years. He's not going anywhere, and Garoppolo's not going to sit around and wait for him to retire, and they're not going to pay him like that. So they have to get what they can for him and move him.
I want to ask this question, and maybe it's a stupid question, Jim, and I'm famous for those, but if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, would you rather be not playing but be with the world champion New England Patriots and be a part of that organization, or would you rather move to Cleveland and be a starter?
Hey, listen, there are no dumb questions. Except that one.
Okay, that's my favorite.
Look, the guy's going to want to play at some point. I understand that you wait around for an opportunity and you don't jump at just anything, but he's got to be his own guy. He's got to make his own way. He's got to get his own money. You know, would I rather back up Tom Brady and go to Cleveland? I'd rather do anything than play for the Browns, but he's going to get an opportunity. They can't franchise a guy and then not play him. They don't pay guys that amount of money to sit on the bench. This is the same coach that cuts guys in their prime, so he's not going to pay a guy to do nothing who's a backup.
Now, Allie, you have said often during this season that Jimmy is the hottest quarterback in the league.
Not
right?
even a question. He's one of the hottest players in the league, let alone.
Do you agree,
at
Jim
position.
Rome? Is Jimmy Garoppolo the hottest quarterback in the NFL?
Why would you ask me something like that?
Of course he does.
Of course he does. keep my name out your mouth. I don't have an opinion on how hot guys are.
Listen, right. He's the hottest, what Allie hottest quarterback is there for. In the league. Yeah.
All
just
right.
Saying.
Let's move on to the NBA.
What about Tony Romo, Allie?
Nah.
Come on.
Nah.
Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Phil Rivers?
Come on.
Sanchez?
That bolo tie? Give me a break. It's crazy talk.
Let's anyway. Move on to the
Mark
to the
Sanchez, though.
Huh? To the NBA.
He's not butt fumbling.
There are some serious... all right, you guys. We'll have to separate you two. There are apparently some serious injuries that have come out of nowhere that are
Tim
really...
Tebow.
Some real blows right now to NBA teams. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, Kevin Durant, and that's the big thing. So Kevin Durant, the other night he goes down, and it looked really, really bad. But come to find out, he did not shred his knee. It's only a sprained MCL and a bone bruise. So that's for Golden State. You lose a league MVP and a four-time scoring champ. Never a good thing, but it could have been much worse. So the question now is, are they still the team to beat in the West? Can they come out and play the Cavaliers? Everybody's freaking out. I think they're going to be fine. Best case scenario, he misses 4 weeks. They get him back. He's ready for the postseason. Worst case scenario, it's 8 weeks. He misses the first round, but they don't need him to win that round anyway. I would not hit the panic button if I'm Golden State. They're going to be fine. They'll be back, and they're going to give the Cavaliers hell.
I wouldn't hit the panic button even if he doesn't come back because they've got some decent players on that team.
They do. They've got the two best perimeter players ever, arguably. They've got a big man who's versatile, who can do a lot of damage. They've got a great coach. They've got a great organization. I mean, we're talking about a team that won it all and then was one game away from winning it all again without Durant. They don't have the depth that they used to have, but they've got their same nucleus. If this guy's anywhere near what he normally is when he comes back, they will be right there.
All right, so it sounds like you think Golden State's going to be fine. How about the Philadelphia 76ers? Joel
Embiid. Oh, they're going to be fine.
Is their big injury?
Love this guy. I mean, Durant's injury is bad, but to me, this is the worst news of the entire NBA season. Joel Embiid is done for the year. He did not deserve to have his season end that way, and more importantly, neither did we, because the guy's a monster. And as good as he is on the floor, he's even better off it. He glossed himself the process. He smashes Shirley Temples by the pitcher, and he kills it on Twitter. I love this guy. So even though he only played 31 games, he is your rookie of the year because there's nobody else who's even close to this guy. Trust the process and give the process his damn trophy. He earned it.
Wow.
A 31-game rookie of the year.
Wow.
This guy.
Has there ever been anything like that where they only play that many games and still win the rookie year?
No, but the fact is his 31 games are so much better than anybody else's 82 games.
Okay.
So like if there was somebody who was close, I would give it to them, but nobody's even close. And did I say he smashes Shirley Temples by the pitcher?
You did say that, yes.
It sounds like 23-year-old
dude.
This is like when somebody wins an Academy Award for a movie that they're only in for 8 minutes, but they're so impactful that they just steal the whole film.
You know, like my favorite scene ever from a movie, Alec Baldwin, Glengarry, Glenn Ross, 8 minutes long, right?
Yeah, brilliant. Great stuff.
Good point. Good point, Jim Rome.
Yeah, good pull.
Well said, Jim Rome.
Good pull.
You guys have not been giving me nearly enough credit lately.
Alvin, give him an explosion.
Yeah, we don't have
go
the
ahead.
Straight line.
There you go.
All right. That was just genius.
JimRome.com to hear the show from 9 till noon weekdays. And again, if you miss any part of it or just want to hear it again because it's that damn good, don't forget the podcast is the Jim Rome Daily Jungle, available on the website, play.it, and iTunes. Have a great week. We'll do it again next time. Thanks.
Legendary, fam. See ya.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not going to lie, you guys. I'm getting very nervous about April the giraffe. It just seems like she's more than 2 weeks past her due date, and she's just pacing, and she just looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, nature will take its course. All good.
I just...
You have more important things that you should be worried about.
Here's the headline from the Washington Post. The world waits on edge as April the Pregnant Giraffe becomes live stream sensation. Tens of millions of people, Kevin, are checking out April from around the world. She's in that that adventure park in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she could be given birth at any time now.
Right, very exciting.
Nerve-wracking.
You know what's crazy is there's not going to be any video of it that's up later.
Nope.
You could actually just go back and pick it up and actually live a life.
I got to check in on her like every hour just to make sure she's okay.
Right.
I'm afraid bad things will happen.
Of course.
We take childbirth for granted, but there's a lot that can go wrong, my friend.
See, this is Bean's worldview right here.
Yeah.
There's got to be something wrong is his worldview.
Well, interesting, though. Did you hear about the Denver Zoo?
They just had a baby giraffe, too, right?
Yeah, named Dobby. Nobody cares about that giraffe.
I read about Dobby, but
I don't care about Dobby.
I wasn't invested in Dobby's parents like I am in April and Oliver.
Why
because
not?
I've spent so much time with them because they've been accessible to me.
How much time have you spent with them?
You're
a crazy person.
I'm not a crazy person.
That wasn't a question.
So we're talking about April yesterday, and that got us on the topic of because this is a webcam where you can actually watch April pacing around waiting to give birth. And then we started talking about obviously we all Skype our pets and what that's like and everything.
And by the way, obviously we don't
Skype our
pets.
Because when you travel and you're away from home and you miss your dog or you miss your cat or you miss your pig, you want to be able to say hi and talk to them and let them know that daddy still loves them. So
dear Lord.
You fire it up on your phone.
Don't
and you
get me started on human beings that call themselves daddy
over
a pet.
And you want to be able to see them and spend time with
them. They're my fur babies.
Why not, though? What's wrong with that?
I don't like you.
Kevin.
Who gets hurt if I have to travel for work and I'm away from home and I FaceTime Linus, my dog? Who gets hurt? Linus loves it. He sees me.
Does he love it?
Yeah, he blogs about it all the time.
Does he blog about it?
Yeah, he blogs all the time.
I follow him on Twitter, and he's really witty. He says he doesn't like it so much.
He sees me, and he recognizes my face.
I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
And he recognizes my voice. It's good for him. It's super fun for me to be able to see him when I'm home.
Actually, he tweets like this. Hi, I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
Tell me who gets hurt. Tell me what the downside is.
It's just you're crazy.
Why, though?
I don't know why.
Well, go ahead. Use your words.
It's not my doing.
No,
you're crazy.
Your words and tell me why there's anything wrong with it. What's the possible downside of it?
You being crazy. I feel like I've made that point.
You haven't made any
point. I feel like that's a downside.
His case is rested.
Right?
So your only defense is that stop it.
That's my defense. Stop it.
Right. All right, what if it weren't me? What if it were Dave's adorable girlfriend, Krista, who you know and love so much?
I love Krista.
Who also Skypes with Rhonda Ruffy.
Krista is crazy.
Let's find out. Let's talk to Krista. Maybe she can win you over if I can. And by the way, I bet lots of our listeners Skype or FaceTime or Facebook Live or whatever they do.
Yeah, we don't need to hear from them.
With their pets, and I would invite them to call us at 1-800.
Hey, we're crazy too.
1-800-520-1067. If that's you, we want to hear from you. Krista, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good morning.
Do you hear the abuse I'm taking from the bad man?
I'm with you.
All right, listen.
I'm totally with you.
I like Krista more than I like Bean.
That's why I thought she would be a good advocate for our position.
But do you Skype with your pet?
All the time.
Crazy.
No.
Just straight?
It's normal. It's so normal.
It's normal because you do it a lot.
No, it's normal because Rhonda loves me and she's mildly obsessed. So when I travel all the time, she needs to see my face.
Yeah, right. Seeing her face and hearing her voice gives Rhonda comfort. So really, it's helping everyone. It's helping Dave. It's helping other people.
Krista is absolutely right. It's a complete win-win. There's no losers here. Krista feels better. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Krista, but I assume it makes you happy when you're away from home and you miss her. It makes you happy to see her and see that she's happy and well. And it makes her happy to see you.
And also to make sure that Dave hasn't
forgotten to feed her or something.
Well, yeah, so you're checking on your pet's health.
She's checking to make sure Dave didn't kill her.
Because you don't trust Dave. That's very different.
I don't trust Dave at all.
Dave is in no way qualified to keep a pet alive over the course of the weekend. That's for sure.
All right, Krista, do you call yourself mommy about your pet? You do?
Yeah.
I can't be friends with you anymore.
Aww.
But look, but Kevin,
I'm sorry.
I don't think that's a deal
breaker.
I've known
Krista a long time.
Yeah.
This is not, it's not an equivalent. This is what you don't understand, Kevin.
I can't be friends
anymore. It's not
an
equivalency between having a human child and having a pet. That's not what this is. But to Rhonda Ruffey, Krista is her mother. She is the person who takes care of her that she relies on and counts on to make sure that she is safe and healthy and happy.
You think the dog thinks that she's her dog mother?
No, she just – it's a mothering thing.
A caregiver.
Krista, do you call your dog a fur baby?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. All right. Now I'm out.
We've tried so hard,
Krista.
We've tried so hard to be friends with you, and it's just not working out. Get off my phone.
Krista, you keep doing what you're doing. It makes you a great pet parent to spend that much time being interested in caring about Rhonda.
That's what we're saying.
Thank you for calling, my dear. All right. Let's take Renee. She's on line one. She's in Huntington Beach, and she also is going to have my back here.
I think I need somebody to have my back. Why am I the only one speaking truth?
Because you're the only one who's wrong and is bad.
Renee in Huntington Beach. Hi. Hello, Renee.
Yes, Renee. Hi. Go ahead.
So you Skype with your pet?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Well, it's FaceTime, but I travel for work a few times a year, and I go for, 6 to 10 days. And so when I call, we have a special ringtone. Well, my husband has a special ringtone. And when my French bulldog hears the phone, she comes running.
Because she thinks there's
she
a treat.
No, she knows the ringtone.
She's been tossed.
Yes. And she knows she's going to get to see you, right?
Yeah. So then they put me on FaceTime to hear my voice, and obviously they don't speak. But
listen, like it would be any surprise for you to say they speak.
No,
you and Bean.
She's not delusional. She's just saying that her pet enjoys seeing her. From
all right,
afar.
Get off my phone.
Come on, Kevin.
All right. Hold on. We don't need to continue this.
I think we do.
This is crazy central.
We can wrap this up in this segment, actually, but I do. Let's put Will on because he may be on your side. He's in Yucaipa. He's on line two. Let's see what Will has to say.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. So I have several dogs, and I am their daddy, but Skyping your dog is insane.
What's insane about it?
The part where you have to see your dog. Like, you can't just visit your dog when you get home.
First of all,
I'm split on Will because he considers himself his pet's daddy.
Uh-huh. Right?
Okay, so
perfectly reasonable.
So crazy, but he won't Skype his pet, mm-hmm. So a little more balanced.
Yeah. Well, I think you should try it, and here's why. Because you know how you miss your dog when you're traveling?
Yeah.
You get to see your dog. You feel better and happier. Look, your pets make you happy. And
well,
if you can't be with them.
I'm at home, and I've missed them, and it makes me love them just a little bit more.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder for Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think your dog might enjoy seeing you because your dog, dogs don't have the longest memory in the world. And I think they're happy when they get a chance.
But they understand Skype.
They do understand.
FaceTime.
No, but they know what
they're
Will
super
looks.
Happy to see their daddy on the screen.
But they know.
They understand.
That's only your dog, man.
They understand the 2D of a screen.
That is so angry.
And stupid Bean's face going, hey, doggy. That's so dumb.
I have two chihuahuas and a Queensland healer. And all three of them love me just a little bit more when I come home every day.
Will speaks truth, and he can be on my phone.
They would love you even more if you would check in once in a while when you're off whoring around, all right? Maybe check in with the family a little bit.
He's turning on Will because Will's differing with him.
All right. Thank you for calling, Will. So we'll leave it there. We'll just all agree that Kevin is back. We were talking last hour with the guys in Dream Car. And by the way, can I call the request line and hear that new Dream Car song again?
I mean, you don't have to.
I'm jonesing for it right now.
I don't think you have to call the request line. We could actually just play it again.
Such a good song.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, we're talking to them about you're starting a new band, and it's got to be so hard to come up with a name. A name that not only nobody else has, but a name that everybody in the band likes and that is going to survive the test of time. Not something that's a joke that you're going to be tired of in a week.
The
right?
first joke that came out immediately was Bro Doubt.
Bro Doubt. Which, by the way, still an awesome name. Still think they should do it. So it's real tough to come up with a name for your band. it's even tougher to come up with a name for your child. Now, Kevin, you went through this. You've had some kids.
Yeah, I don't think it's that tough.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
For a lot of people, I mean, that's a decision that's gonna outlive you, that decision. So you better get it right.
It is it's sort of the same process where you throw out a bunch of names, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. one of you likes, the other doesn't.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you find one that you both like, and you move on.
Well, every year about this time,
Diamond or Rainbow or something, you know.
Oh,
every year about this time, they come out with a list of all of the names that were given in the previous calendar year. And I got to tell you, there are some new ones for me on this list, some names that I had not seen before. So I thought I might share some of the names that children were given in America in 2016. And I don't know whether 100 years from now these are going to be among the most popular names in the world, or if this is going to be the only kid in the history of the world who ever has this name.
I swear to God, if there's a Jin or so, I'm going to be mad.
I'm certain that there
are
a lot of Star Wars names.
Yeah.
Of course. But here are some of the ones.
Star Wars names you almost have to forgive. You almost just go, all right, look, you love them so much. Okay,
we get it, baby Ray.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here are some of the names, and you guys can weigh in on whether you think they are a success or not. Number one, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the name.
Elizabeth.
That's awful.
Is that just a misspelling, do you think?
I think there are a lot of there are a lot of people, and you know this for a fact, Kevin, there are a lot of people who love a name but want their kid to be quote-unquote unique, so they spell it a little different or put a little bit of a twist on it.
Here's what parents don't understand is if your kids are going to be unique, it's going to come from them.
Right.
It's not going to come from your stupid name.
Yeah.
And it is pointed out, by the way, that Elizabeth sounds a little bit too much like lizard breath to really want to give to a child.
You do have to consider the mean nature of kids.
Right.
Like other kids are going to pick on anything they can find. So
and
don't give them ammunition.
Every time Elizabeth introduces herself, people are going to say, Elizabeth? No, Elizabeth. What?
Right. Oh, do you have a lisp?
It's just every single time.
Right.
And
not cool.
And I tend to be the one. I just saw the note that did take place.
Yep.
I tend to be the one on this show who is okay with a little bit of creativity, a little more leniency than maybe you guys. Like we were talking last week about the celebrity who had a baby named Golden. I think Golden is a fine
name. I like it.
I got no problems with it.
I don't mind the name. I'm just afraid that I'm telling you, you know, grade school, mm-hmm. junior high, high school.
Then tough it up. That's what I say, Golden. Tough it up.
But why make Golden toughen up that
because
early?
Then you can call her Goldie, which is a great name, or Golden Tate. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
If
number two, after Elizabeth. Meldor.
What?
Meldor.
Spell, please.
M-E-L-D-O-R. Now, I don't know if that is a name from Lord of the Rings, but it certainly sounds like it.
It does sound like it, yeah.
All right. Here is, and this is one of those variations that I was discussing where the name is a popular name, but let's spell it different. This is Olivia. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love the name Olivia? It's beautiful.
I love the name Olivia.
A-L-I.
Don't.
V-I-Y-A-H.
Come on.
Olivia
is the name.
Well, I'm sorry to say.
Here's the thing. At least, you know, when the teachers call roll or whatever,
right.
they'll say Olivia for the most part, I would guess.
If you're pregnant right now and looking for a name for your little boy or girl, how about Maverick? What about Maverick? Very popular name. M-H-A-V-R-Y-C-H is Maverick.
Stop it.
In the Elizabeth class is also going to be this little girl. Her name is Beverly.
B-E-B?
B-E-B-E-R-L-Y.
Beverly.
Beverly.
She's going to sound like she's saying it wrong her whole life. You can't even say your own name?
Now, here's a name that seems to be gaining in popularity. I don't have exact counts on how many there were last year, but there are multiple babies, both boys and girls, who were given the first name of Danger. Danger is a name that people are using now.
Should
Any
be
thoughts
a middle
on
name.
That?
Should
Danger
be a middle
should
name.
Be your middle name, exactly. This one is certainly one of a kind. This is a little girl. Her name is first name Little, middle name Sweet Meat. Little
no.
Sweet
oh,
Meat.
No, no, no,
no.
Sir. Are you kidding? Are you joking? At what age is she going to be taking stripper jokes? 5 months?
Little Sweet Meat is the name.
No.
No,
no.
We
reject that.
This is a name, and I got to tell you, I see a lot of names, particularly here in New Orleans, with apostrophes in them, and this could be one of them in the future. This is Ciandre. Ciandre is the name, and it's the letter C apostrophe Andre, A-N-D-R-E. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just made up. Yeah. Now, this one, I assume there's no accent mark on it, but I assume that the intention was cologne.
Bean has a list of names that people named their kids last year in the United States. So these are all real.
That's right. I assume the intention was cologne, but without an accent mark, it's just colon. The baby's name is just colon.
I don't think you want...
Maybe cologne, but like Spanish?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think they're going for.
Oh, I was thinking cologne like the smell.
No, no, no. I was thinking it was cologne like Spanish. Okay. Like Cristobal cologne, right?
Right.
But it's just colon. It's just, I don't know that your kid wants to be colon.
No.
Here's a baby named Baby. Here's a baby
No one named their baby Baby.
Oh,
Baby
Houseman. Baby. Nobody puts her in the corner.
Here is, and this one is not going to surprise anybody who pays attention to the news, America.
Oh, somebody named their kid that?
America, ladies and gentlemen, is a name. Can we talk to Grace real quick? San Dimas, line three.
I didn't even know we were taking calls.
We weren't, but Grace has one of those names that is a perfectly good name, in fact, a beautiful name with a rich history from the Bible, yet she effed it up by not knowing how to spell it.
Hey, Grace.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What is your son's name?
My son's name is Isaac.
And how do you spell Isaac?
I spell it E-Y-S-S-I-C.
Great.
Now, let me ask you, why?
Well, like you say, to be unique, you know, and poor kid now, he has to spell his name to everyone who asks him.
But Isaac is a beautiful, classic, strong, wonderful, historical name. What's wrong with that? You can't improve on Isaac.
I just did.
But but you didn't, because you said that your kid has to spell it every time. Doesn't that make you feel bad?
No.
Grace.
Get off my phone.
Look, I can't kick everybody off the phone. We just got it back. They were out for 2 days.
Right. Now that we have phones, we're kind of obligated to use them.
We have to take calls. Do we have to talk to Ken?
We can't.
No, because that's fake. Everybody says this, and it's a legend.
Allie, that is on this list as a name that was given last year.
I don't believe it.
Let's close with Ken, because he has one that seriously, if people haven't heard this name, they're not going to believe it. And it is a girl's name, at least it was last year. Tell me about you, Ken.
Hello, Ken. Ken. Ken.
Well, that was not a success.
I mean, I don't feel like it was the climax
the name
we were looking for.
Is I don't know how you would pronounce it. Is it Absidy?
It's A B C D E apostrophe S.
I feel like everybody says they know someone with this name, and nobody knows someone with this name.
I'm going to tell you this. Mm-hmm. According to this article, there are 328 humans in America named Absidy.
Get off my phone, Bean.
All right, I'll do that. Right. Got an email from listener Ken, by the way. We went to him on the phone a minute ago. He's the teacher, and his phone died.
Oh, okay.
He apologizes. He writes in, "Sorry, guys, my phone died right when you put me on the air. I had two absidies in my classes. One was black, one was white, both girls, one from Long Beach, the other Santa Monica. I also, like Allie, did not believe that the name existed, but I have had two in my classroom in the last 3 years.
Oh, Ken.
So that's a thing that people do to their children.
People need to stop that, right?
I agree.
We can all agree on that
We
today.
Can.
Okay. Allie is in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat, but before we get to that, is there a moment with you could lay on us? Because I feel like...
I mean, I feel like we may have played it enough already.
I don't know. I don't think we have.
Overplay it.
Let's.
Poor people.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot Chili
Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Listener Omar was so sweet coming in to help you.
He was, Ryan. He was sweet, but he was also a little frustrated with me.
He wanted to get to the contest.
He was just like, look, let's get the name right so I can win the tickets.
All right, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after 9. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You guys, today is the lovely Chris Martin's birthday, the singer of Coldplay. He's turning 40 today, and most people on their birthday... they get presents.
Right.
He's giving us a present, which is delightful. He tweeted this morning, "Hello, everyone. We've got a new EP coming for you on June 2nd. It's called the Kaleidoscope EP, and it has 5 songs. And that's nice. That's nice for you to tell us that." And then he went a step further. "Hey, here's one of them." So this is the new song by Coldplay called Hypnotized.
Now I'm here. Hypnotized, yeah, trip.
I'm encouraged about this EP because we all kind of got the impression when the last record came out and they were doing publicity for that, including here on the Kevin and Bean Show, that this was likely the last Coldplay album. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah.
They're making it sound like they were wrapping up. They're going on a big tour and that was going to be it. So if they're still making new music, that's good news.
Right. And it also came out with a video with...
lyrics.
A lyric video, mm-hmm. Yes, essentially, which is, it's like getting a massage or a facial listening to that music. Not that kind. No. Just relaxing. Some tender piano, some beautiful violins. Chris Martin giving us a gift on his birthday. I love him so much.
Look, I know it's become hip mm-hmm. to say you don't like Coldplay, but I still do.
People that say that have never seen him in concert.
Yeah, they're great.
Because they put on a hell of a show.
Agreed.
So, enough of you people. How about this? I am so pumped for this. Kevin, not as much as me. Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears are uniting for a co-headlining North American tour this summer. It's a 29-date arena tour. It's going to kick off May 4th in Oklahoma and ends July 28th in Los Angeles. That pleases me to no end, because if you've seen either band, you know how amazing they are live, and then you put them together... You kidding?
Yeah, it's a pretty good double bill.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, checked out. You're talking about what?
I swear to God. Seriously, Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears.
Right, I heard you.
That's great. Kevin?
I'm not getting anything now.
All right.
Let's get a headphone issue.
Think back into your 80s brain, the Jesus and Mary chain.
You think I have an 80s brain?
I'm just talking to people in their cars right now.
Kevin doesn't have a Monday brain.
I think
Kevin
I've given
doesn't have a 7 a.m. brain. Are you kidding?
I think I've given us 3 moments with this week.
I'm pretty good.
Come on now.
Well, the Jesus and Mary Jane will tour North America in the spring. They're going to release their first new album in 18 years on March 23rd called Damage and Joy. Again, I'm okay with that.
I can't. Are you cutting out?
Am I alone?
I don't understand.
Bean, Jesus and Mary Chain.
I like them very much. Psycho Candy is one of my all-time favorite records from that era.
Right? Just like Honey?
Yeah.
So good. All right, you guys. Very concerned about Chris Hardwick. What was he going to do with his time when he wasn't doing The Talking Dead on AMC?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was looking at his schedule the other day, and he does have 45 minutes in the week where he's not doing anything.
Well, don't you worry. He is now going to do, instead of just Talking Dead when they do The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, the after show called The Talking Dead, what about those times when those shows aren't airing? Those months that we have to wait for new shows?
Right.
Don't worry. AMC has a new hour-long talk show called Talking with Chris Hardwick. It's going to feature Chris interviewing various guests from pop culture.
Hey, do you guys remember with Negan? And then he came out that one time, and then he had that bat, Lucille.
It's not specifically about either of those shows, so he's just going to have kind of like his own late-night talk show, essentially. I don't hate it.
What is that? But what does that do to At Midnight? Can he still do that at the same
time? I don't think At Midnight's on Sundays.
Oh, Sundays. Okay, right. I missed that. Okay.
Right.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
Okay, back to you.
Kevin doesn't have an 8:57 brain.
Right.
I mean, can we hear that?
No!
Yeah, one more time.
Let's
listen to it one more time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot Chili
Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, it's so good. All right, let's get to some birthdays. Daniel Craig, 49. Method Man, 46. Chris Martin, like we mentioned, is 40. Rebel Wilson is 37. Bryce Dallas Howard is turning 36. And this man, turning 55, John Bon Jovi.
Song.
Not real sure.
Okay.
It's
I think that was the
Omar's
last
life.
Top 10 hit maybe is why.
Yeah, but
it's not
you
good,
do
though.
Living on a Prayer, you do that Shot Through the Heart, you Give Love a Bad Name song.
Right, that one.
I'm Ellie McCann for Rocker and Walker Shrimp.
Anthony, I'll just say Chacon from Corona. That's probably not pronounced right, but he is a very happy man today because he just won his tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing Staples Center next week. He's also qualified for the grand prize drawing of Wheels Up 2017 Destination Revive, the Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, one of the world's great cities. Your chance to win coming up next hour with Kat Corbett on K-Rock. Very excited. This time every week, we catch up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, of course, from the Dr. Drew Podcast, the Adam and Drew Show, the Weekly Infusion. You can also hear him weekday afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KABC from noon till 3. How are you, Doc?
I am great, guys. Good to talk to you as always.
I can't believe in all the years and years and years and years we've been having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, I'm not sure we have ever gotten into gambling addiction before, have we?
I don't think we have. I think one time we talked about how sometimes a bizarre, you guys like bizarre things, and I remember we were talking about how Parkinsonian medication, anti-Parkinsonian medication, sometimes will bizarrely trigger gambling addiction in somebody who wasn't previously a gambling addict.
What?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. Effect.
Well, there's one example of how biological gambling addiction can be. There's certain medicines that these guys will develop these overwhelming gambling addictions they cannot stop, and it's merely a side effect of the medication.
All right. One of your colleagues is named Dr. Steven Rosenberg, and he is a psychotherapist and behavioral specialist that works in Philadelphia. He says that he has worked with tens of thousands of clients that are addiction. Like drug and gambling addiction. And he was asked, how does someone develop a gambling problem? And his answer really surprised me. He said, gambling addiction starts with the need to feel better about oneself. Hmm. And I would have thought gambling addiction starts with wanting to make some money.
Well, there is that. That's sort of the immediate, immediate issue.
I would have thought the first issue would be the excitement, the rush.
Right.
The rush.
So let me break that all down. So all addictions, at their core, people are starting to do drugs for one of two reasons, to feel better or to feel good. That's just all addictions.
Okay.
So he's kind of right. It's just sort of a not very specific answer to that question. But gambling addiction, you know, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas actually has a gambling lab. They have a casino that when you go in, they wire you up, and they've studied very carefully what happens to people when they have gambling addiction.
That sounds like a bummer.
It's good time.
I'm not going to that casino.
And there are three or four different sort of subcategories of gambling addiction. One is, this is actually the more common type, which is people that actually get high when they lose. I'll have patients say, I don't feel like myself unless my back is against the wall. That's when they get high, is during the it's almost a deading compulsion. So that's one group. Another group is interested in sort of gaming the system. There's sort of a sociopathic group that gets high on the winning. That's the sort of the winning guys. And then there's a group that likes to dissociate, the people that use the slot machines and the video poker. And the guy that runs the University of Nevada, Las Vegas gambling lab, whose name has just escaped me at the minute, it's Bo, help me somebody.
Bice.
He had two or three patients that would dissociate so bad at the video poker that they had to wear diapers. That they literally would lose their urine.
True.
They'd sit there for so many, I swear to God. That's something.
Sounds like the guy I'm looking at right now.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Beer Mug.
Beer Mug here, Dr. Drew. Two out of the three of those things that you mentioned, I have definitely experienced.
Which two?
Not the pooing and peeing myself, but the deadened compulsion.
Deadening.
And I have gotten, they've been panic attacks when I'm losing to the point where I've already know I've lost, and I feel lightheaded, and like I feel like in this kind of like euphoric state, but it's not euphoria. It's just I feel like a ghost.
Yeah,
because you're going to be one soon.
And
it's that weird when the times are the toughest. That's when I feel the most alive and the most myself. Right?
But it was weird. I didn't like the feeling so much.
I'm not saying they like it.
No.
It's just that's where the compulsion sort of circles.
Okay, so Muggs is a lot in debt.
Yes, he's been cut off by his bookie, Dr. Drew, just so you know. Like, his bookie will not accept any more bets from him because he's too far in the hole.
So what about Muggs's mind works this way? He'll tell us, I'm done for good, it's never going to happen again, I learned my lesson, and I'm never going to gamble again. And then he'll come in over the weekend and say, I tried a three-game parlay, and I didn't get it. We're like, what happened to stopping? Because you understand you're in too much trouble.
Just like a good codependent, it's like a wife asking her husband, you said you were going to stop drinking, but then you went out with your friends and you did it all over again. How is that possible? You know how it's destroying our life. How could you do that? So insert your drug of choice right into that little scenario, and that's why this is an addiction.
Are you saying we're enabling him to gamble?
I know you're enabling, but you're definitely codependent upon him because you're asking him to just stop. You're saying, dude, what's the matter with you? Just get this going. when in fact that dance you're in with him, where you're telling him to stop and he does it anyway, is part of that codependent cycle. But he needs, you know, there's two programs for him.
Okay,
they're
but
out
hold
there.
On. Okay, but hold on, hold on, hold on. So you're saying that we're a codependent? Because I honestly think all of us feel bad for Muggs, mm-hmm. and we want him to stop doing this and to get better and to be healthy and to be happy.
Right. That will not happen without treatment.
Oh.
What kind of I mean, Gamblers Anonymous is a thing I've heard of. Does it work just like other 12-step programs?
It does. It works very well. And there are people out there that specialize in sort of cognitive behavioral therapies and things that also work for gambling compulsions. And Debtors Anonymous. There's something called DA, Debtors Anonymous, that I've had some gambling addicts have great success with. And that Muggs sounds like he's sort of in that zone.
Are you saying DEAD or are you saying DEBT?
DEBT.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Debtors.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Dr. Drew, we've talked to you in the past about various kinds of addictions, and you say that one of the ways you know you are addicted is if it starts to impact negatively your life and your livelihood.
Health, your work or school, finances, mm-hmm. legal status, and relationships. So, and I'm certainly Muggs' wife's not happy about this.
Well,
she doesn't know to what extent.
Hey Drew, she doesn't know she's not happy about it yet, but she won't be.
Hey, wait a minute. So you must have seen a lot of cases where people have just bankrupted themselves and their families and their businesses, yep. and everything. You can just lose everything if you don't get this under control.
Same as any other addiction. Same as any addiction. They end up homeless. They end up on the street. They end up without relationships.
Is this an inpatient treatment thing as well, or can he do it? Outpatient.
There is such a thing, but he can certainly do it outpatient. And again, as I said, there are people that specialize in it. I'm certainly somebody who's listening has training in the treatment of gambling addiction. Call in and offer your services for Muggs. And
it won't help him, though. I mean, let's be honest.
No, we hope it does.
I don't want to mislead the callers.
But let me ask you one more thing, Dr. Drew, and you're very kind with your time today. If we were to suggest to Muggs, all right, I feel like you've bottomed out and you really do need to get some help, I think it would be real easy for him to come back and say convincingly, I'm not there yet. I don't need it. I can take care of myself. Right. I can control it. I just won't do it.
That very question, the way you framed it, is codependent. Yeah. It's like, well, when he finally gets to the bottom, he's there.
Yeah.
He's there. So mm-hmm. so that's one part of it. And the other is that you'd fall for his BS if he were to say, no, I got this. That's BS. We're past that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Muggs, what do you think?
Well, I'm optimistic for my future. I already have completed the first step, which is admitting you have a problem. So,
seeking any help?
No.
Okay, good.
But this conversation may change that.
Yes. Yes.
He seems like somebody to me that would do well with CBT and that sort of thing. This is sort of and motivational enhancement therapies, and then maybe
shock treatment
will be part of that. No shock treatment.
I'm just guessing.
Spitballing here.
All right. Go to drdrew.com for all the podcasts. Look for him on the radio with our friend Mike Catherwood from noon till 3 on KABC. Great talk, Doc. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, you got it. Good luck, Muggs.
Thanks, Drew.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
I don't want to eat into Allie's time here on the Showbiz Beat.
Please do.
I'd really like to hear that moment with again.
I don't think we need time.
I'll make time.
She's got a lot of good stories.
I just dropped a story for it.
I miss it. Could I hear it again, please?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Listener Omar doesn't know the rule.
Right.
It's a cruel rule, but I came up with it,
yeah.
So that's dumb on my part. But you don't rescue someone.
Right.
Right.
You just let them fail. And Omar didn't know
that. If someone is drowning, you do not throw them a life raft.
Right. So that's why Bean didn't say chili peppers and Allie didn't say chili peppers, because we know the rules. But Omar, who was trying to win tickets, I think just wanted me to get on with it.
Right.
He was just frustrated with the fact that I can't say Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he just wanted to get it over with so that he could get to the part where he wins the tickets.
Well, the good news is, if I recall correctly, he did win tickets, I think.
He didn't.
He did not, it turns out.
He did not.
Because now I feel terrible. That's why.
How dare you?
What?
9:38, Allie's in for Ralph. Ralph will be back tomorrow, by the way. Yeah. But in the meantime, here's one final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
You guys, I have a new favorite show, and they haven't even started to film it yet. Name alone, it's a Tina Fey produced comedy pilot called The Sackett Sisters. They already have Busy Phillips as one of the sisters, and they now have the other sister. But let me just tell you, it's a single-camera project that revolves around the Sackett family. They're reunited when two estranged sisters perform an act of public heroism, and then they're forced to navigate the aftermath together. So you've
all
got...
I didn't understand the setup at all, but I'm still looking forward to the show. Go ahead.
It's two sisters. They're estranged. They do something huge, this act of heroism.
Okay.
Then they have to come together because then they become famous for this act. But they hate each other. It's not good.
All right.
Busy Phillips is one of the Sackett sisters in Love Her, Freaks and Geeks, Dawson's Creek, Cougar Town. Love her. The second Sackett sister? Casey Wilson from Happy Endings. Oh, my God. You guys. This is my dream cast. Tina Fey produced comedy? Who's with me?
What are we watching?
I feel I'm with you, but I don't feel the excitement that you feel.
As much? Okay. I'm just saying, this is going to be the best show maybe possibly ever. And Bradley Whitford will play their estranged father. I mean, it's a trifecta of awesomeness right there.
Come on, though. What are we watching?
Who is that?
That's not important.
Bean. He's creepy, though. I don't love it. Some weird stuff has been going down on Wikipedia, you guys. It all started 2 years ago. Jim Davis, the creative Garfield, did a innocuous interview, 20 Things You Might Not Know About Garfield, where he said, Garfield is very universal. By virtue of being a cat, he's not really male or female, or any particular race or nationality, young or old. Right? No big deal.
Right.
Who cares? Garfield, we don't know who he is, boy, girl, whatever. That caused no fuss at first.
Okay.
Until last week, a satirist named Virgil Texas dug up that quote from 2 years ago and then tweeted this very bold move. I have updated the Garfield Wikipedia entry to reflect this fact. Are you ready? Fact. Garfield has no gender. This is canon. What? So you think, okay, no big deal. It's just some guy tweeting something. Well, Wikipedia had to put Garfield's page on lockdown because there was a 60-hour editing war going on with people posting.
Who has that kind of time?
I don't know, but I love it so much. Here are some of the examples of things that they posted to the Wikipedia page. By the way, these are all the comics, and they would actually put these actual comics there. Garfield adopts a superhero persona. He names it Amoeba Man. All right. Well, okay. If his persona is Amoeba Man, Garfield's a guy. Garfield refers to himself as, quote, bad boy. He's a guy. Garfield thinks to himself, quote, he'd make a lousy father. Guy. What is happening, you guys, that people really had that much time? And Wikipedia had to lock down the page. So
I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that he's not a boy, by the way.
Well, genderless, I think, is what they were saying. But Jim Davis, Garfield's creator, has come back out and told the Washington Post yesterday, Garfield is male. He has a girlfriend, Arlene. So,
now it's been settled.
Yeah.
We can all agree it's not funny, though.
Garfield? Yeah. I don't think anyone finds it funny.
Okay.
Do people find Garfield funny?
Back to you. I don't know.
Bean.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
And I do know that people, even no matter how much you love Bill Murray, I don't think there was anybody who was happy with that choice to do the Garfield movie.
You might be right. Well, we were discussing earlier, Sunday seems like it was weeks away. The Oscars seemed like last month. It was just a few days ago.
No, it was last month.
See? See, because it's March 3rd now. I mean, it's March 2nd now, so...
It's true.
It's last month.
Yeah. Big brouhaha over the final Oscar envelope. That was a major problem. Was it La La Land? Nope. It was, in fact, Moonlight as the best picture. There was a problem with the envelopes. Well, turned out that the guy that was supposed to hand the envelope saying that Moonlight was the best picture was a little busy tweeting a picture of Emma Stone with her Oscar. So he was a bit, you know, maybe out to lunch a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
He deleted the tweet, but people had screen capped it. Well, now Brian Cullinan and Martha Ruiz have been blamed for the mix-up, and they are no longer permitted to tabulate Oscar votes or hand out envelopes containing the winners' names. So they've been essentially fired from the Oscars.
Nice job, dumbass.
Right. But, of course, they are still employed as partners of the prestigious accounting firm Price Waterhouse.
I feel bad for Martha, by the way. She didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, Martha was doing her thing correctly. It was bizarro Matt Damon that screwed it all up. He looks so much like Matt Damon. It's
by the way,
amazing.
If you're an accountant and 1 day a year you get to put on a tux and be on stage at the Academy Awards, man, I think that's got to hurt to lose that. And now you just go back to being an accountant all the time.
Oh, you just made it sadder.
Yeah.
I don't love it. Well, a couple days ago, huge bidding war to find out who was going to land the Obamas on their company. On their company? I don't know what I'm saying. Who was going to land the Obamas for their presidential memoir? Well, now we know Penguin Random House has paid $65 million for the joint book deal. The largest payment ever for a presidential memoir.
That's crazy.
Thanks, Obama!
That's crazy,
That is crazy.
Would you guys read that?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. I would love, well, I read a lot of presidential books and biographies and autobiographies from presidents. I'd love to hear what it's like to do that job.
Yeah.
Firsthand knowledge.
But
do they put the real stuff in there, though?
Well,
do they, I mean, do they put
there's no way to know how much they leave out. And I think, you know, some are
they have to leave out some.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
For national security, they have to.
Sure. Well, Kevin is not interested in that book. But what if I told you Alec Baldwin has teamed with co-writer Kurt Anderson to do a book about Trump? It's called You Can't Spell America Without Me, the really tremendous inside story of my fantastic first year as President Donald J. Trump. And if that's not enough, book is due out November 7th, and Baldwin will read the audiobook as Trump. You in?
Sure.
Now Kevin digs it. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely. Let's wrap it up, shall we? It's Friday, right?
Sorry.
It's not Friday.
Feels like Friday.
It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday.
All right. All of these stars were born on March the 2nd. We've got M-E-T-H-O-D, man, 46. Chris Martin is 40. Rebel Wilson, 37. Bryce Dallas Howard is 36. Daniel Craig is 49. And singer John Bon Jovi is 55.
I'm a cowboy. On a steel horse I ride. I want it, want it. Head of the line.
We can only play that song today because Ralph is out and he hates it more than life itself.
Really?
Yeah. You're not riding a steel horse. He yells.
He is. On a steel horse he rides. It's right there in the lyrics. Interesting. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the show's beat.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Adam Devine on the program. We have brand-new Internet Roundup. We have your RHCP tickets. I'm just going to say it that way. And we have comedian Jay Moore as well tomorrow morning.